Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Bless your word this morning. Speak to us, encourage us, strengthen us, empower us, lift us up again. Encourage us. Let your word come forth like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And let your children be truly fed by the words that come from your heart. I ask that, Lord, you will empower everyone that is listening, both those that are online and those that are here. Lord, encourage them, empower them, strengthen them. Help them to shake off the beast into the fire. And I ask, Lord, for the release of the spirit of prayer. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we set the entire landscape and we saw that the gods of this land are dead. You alone are the living God. And we celebrate your greatness. We celebrate your might. We celebrate your power. We celebrate your excellence. We celebrate your glory. We celebrate your majesty. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Please let me turn to your neighbor and prophesy into their lives and say, brother or sister, tomorrow is going to be all right. Tomorrow is going to be blessed. Please let me tell your neighbor, the Lord sent me to you to tell you that tomorrow will be all right. Now, if you believe that prophecy, put your hands together and bless the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to read very quickly from 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to take a few verses and hopefully we can drill down. Just drill down quickly. My wife has set a standard. Do we appreciate Pastor Wumi? Amen. Sometimes you don't know how terrible a preacher you are until you listen to somebody else. You know, I just realized today that I'm a storyteller. So. Some people have what it takes to just, you know, go down straight to the point, you know. But so I will try to work on myself. Amen. So if you notice any changes from now, you know where it came from. First Kings 18, and we'll start reading from verse 27. Now the background to this story was Elijah's contest with 400 prophets. And they had a challenge. Now, it is worthy of note that it was not God that told Elijah to go into that contest. Have you ever heard the scripture, do not put the Lord your God to... In this case, our brother decided to, he decided to do something that was... They just saw it in the newspaper in heaven that Elijah has already organized a contest of... whose God answers by fire, you know. So they like, he did not tell us anything. You know, we just saw it in the papers. Okay, let's get the angels down there. He did not wait. Whether if God likes, if he likes, no. I've announced that somebody today. You know, there are some things we do out of zeal, and God honors it because he was zealous for righteousness. Amen. And let me tell you, there are some things that will not stop in your life until you make a bold statement. There are some things that you must say in righteousness for the insult to stop. Yes. Say, Pastor, I'm praying. Go out and announce, by this time tomorrow, a price of wheat shall be sold. And then say, toss here the Lord. Put my name beside it. people are dying in the family, stand in the next devotion and announce, this is the last time. Say, thus hear the Lord. Now, this is the problem. The demons were not there when God spoke. They are not really sure. All they know is that someone stood and said, this is what the Lord said. So, first of all, they have to retreat. Like, we need to check that information. But the information is above their pay grade. If they punch it in the computer, they can't find the information. The only way to know if God sent Elijah is to show up at the battleground. And Elijah was so nice. He gave them first right of right of way, Abby. Say you try first. Performance. You go first. If they had succeeded in calling down fire, there would be no need for Elijah to try. Do you understand? Like, he brought the contest, so he must have known something. And I will show you what one of those things are. When you are going into a battle or a contest, and they say you start first, throw the first three punches. Don't do it. Don't do it. It's a trap. The moment Elijah saw that after 1 hour they were still praying, he said these people are weak. Based on the spiritual principle of one which is 1,000 and two which is 10, you are 400. So you should be able to harness demonic angels to a very large proportion. And please, if you can help me find out, based on the principle of two which is 10,000, how many demons? Because it's a principle. It's not just for Christians. It's a spiritual principle. So if two which is 10,000, how many demons can, or angels, can you bring into the battle? Are you getting me? We have 2, 10,000. So it means per every person, you are adding like 9,000 or 10,000 extra, which means another 2. You are adding like 2 zeros. So please calculate, you get to 400. When you get the number, let me know. Huh? Somebody is already at within the range of 2 million. That if you find, I'm waiting for your own answer. She's the mathematician. So I want you to know what happens to you when you enter into prayer of agreement. So if you can find 7 people, 20 people, say this thing that is going on in my life, I want it to stop. 7 people who are united and agreed. 2 alone will give you 10,000 angels. Or put 10,000 demons to flight. Are we together? Now, let's read from verse, I don't know, is it 27? You already have the background to the story. Let's read from verse 27 very quickly. And so it was at noon. That's 12 p.m., right? You will know what that means now. That Elijah provoked them. He mocked them. And said, cry aloud! For he is a God. He must be meditating. Or maybe he's even busy. Your prayer is not... You pray like thunder. Or he's on a journey. Or perhaps he is sleeping and needs to be awakened. Please, verse 28, and we'll come back to 27 now. So, you see, the moment the brother said, maybe he's sleeping. Remember that one of the factors that defines godhood is that he does not sleep or slumber. The moment the prophet said, maybe he's sleeping, they became angry. They cried, oh Baal, how can you sleep? Your prophets are here. If you don't hear us, how will you hear the people? I know Baal has been listening to them. It's just that day Elijah was around. So actually, he was on a journey. He ran. So the prophet knew what he was saying. In the spirit, while they were trying to conjure fire, he was monitoring everything from the spiritual realm. And he saw that Baal was at a juncture. He refused to come close. So he now provoked the people. Because for Baal to be effective, he has to be here.
So he's not here now. And Elijah said, you don't need God, you need me. If me, I'm here, fire will fall. It's a level of assurance you must get to. That if you are here, there should be hope in people. People's heart that, maybe God will do something. So they cried aloud, put up that scripture. And they began to cut themselves with knife. And what this tells you is that they started, they were entering into blood covenants. They were cutting themselves. The principle, this matter of, this doctrine of cutting yourselves with knives and blades, while it's a satanic, it's a demonic form of worship, you know, and once blood is shed, you are provoking the demons in that temple to rise quickly. So there's something about that in those Eastern religions. And the blood gushed out, which means it wasn't just a small cut. They were now willing to even die. Bleed to death. Next verse. And when midday was past, they prophesied. Can you see the word prophesy? So they moved from prayer to prophecy. Yes, not only Christians prophesy. So you would have heard them in the heat of that context. They began to speak in satanic tongues. Satanic languages. Invoking, prophecy is testifying about a deity. The scripture says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There's one level of prophecy that tells you about your problem. The highest level of prophecy reveals Christ. And they started to prophesy. From the time of the offering until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Next verse. Then Elijah said to all the people, it's okay, you have tried. All of you come near. So all the people, I mean the prophets now, they came near. Come near is a prophetic declaration to demobilize every satanic power. Esumo me, esumo, come near, come there. As they are coming, their powers are failing. Say, come near to me. And he began to repair. He didn't rush. You see, you must understand that there are certain battles that fail from the start because you rushed. He said, come to me. And they came. They started observing. He started to repair the altar. I can't call down fire on this rubbish people are doing. He said, take this one. This one is a broken stone. I want complete stones. I want the 12 tribes of Israel. And he started, you know, I need them represent. He started to arrange the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Now, please pay attention that the failure of these prophets was significant because, was imminent because it was Elijah that chose the location of the battle. It was also imminent because it was Elijah that brought the stones. Then Elijah said, well, as a good host, you go first. Look at that verse we just read. He said he repaired the altar of what? So when you bring satanic worship on the altar of the Lord, it has failed. The reason Baal could not come was because the person that brought the stones initially and chose the location already consecrated that place to God. So whatever you are bringing there is illegal. The first person to speak over, the first person to speak over that child, the first person to speak over that situation, the first person you give enough time to speak over that business, the first person you need, you give enough time to say, this is the place the Lord has chosen for, that person will have first right of refusal. So that land was already covenanted to God before the prophets of Baal started there. So whatever they were doing there was already illegal. There was no way Baal could bring his fire on an altar that was already consecrated to the Lord. And when Elijah wanted to, he said, this altar that is broken down belongs to God. Are you seeing something? When you go over, when you have a child that is troublesome or you're having a challenge, maybe with his health or with your marriage or with your life, with your career, you need to take that matter and say, from today, this business now belongs to the Lord. You are the CEO. That's why God is not involved. Because God cannot be your junior partner. So take your business, take your marriage. Even if you are not married, take your marriage. So you are speaking already into the future. Say, it belongs to the Lord. The Lord is my first husband. Before Femi. Before Isaac. Before Yomi. Before Gbinga. Before Sheun. The Lord is my first husband. So I'm talking about principles here. Are you with me? So you now see, you read the story and you just assume, what happened. No. They were destined to fail. Don't let the enemy choose the battle location. Don't let the enemy decide for you how this matter. Tell them, let me think about it. I will tell you what. Don't say anywhere you choose. No, it's not anywhere you choose. Are you with me so far?
Yes, sir.
All right. But this is not where we are going. No. Please put up the scripture. Next verse. So as I'm speaking now, I want you to be noting the principles. Elijah took how many stones? 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord has come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Now, please hold on here. Do you know that these stones only represented the 12 tribes? These stones are not the 12 tribes. The 12 tribes are real people. Do you know that the high priest, the garment of the high priest, he needed to bear and wear stones? Symbolic of what? The 12 tribes of Israel. So anytime he goes before God, he's representing them. Which means as an intercessor, there are times you come to the Lord as a prayerful person, but there are other situations you must come as an intercessor. Which means when you are praying for that brother, that sister of yours that is going through a challenge, you can take his picture, put it before you, the Lord, in prayer. Before you start the prayer. That's what this brother did. He's just like taking 12 pictures. Am I right? I'm putting it before the Lord. I say, this is Chukwe Maker. This is Nonso. This is, what's that your favorite Igbo name? Chidi. And you have 12 brothers, or all representing a particular family, or 6, or 3, depending on the number of folks you have in your. Are you listening to me? This is what Elijah did. What he was saying here was the same thing David said when he came against Goliath. Say, you have not come against me, but the Lord of hosts. Against the Lord of hosts. So what he was saying is that this insult must be addressed because it is against the covenanted people of God. And if you, before that time, had covenanted your children to the Lord, with or without their knowledge, you have the right because you are their father. Because you are their mother. You mentioned and say, you, Tommy, sin, you belong to the Lord. The Lord claims you. He lays hold on you. You belong to him. Any covenant that is being instituted behind me will not stand. Even if I'm not aware. Because I have handed you over to the Lord. It's just as Samuel was presented to the Lord. I'm talking about how to deal with your battles once and for all. It's about covenant. Put up that scripture. This is not where we are going. No. I'm just... Next verse. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of beans. Go on. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces. Now, I hope you know that he didn't have any help. Just him. If I were his assistant, I would run away because there is no way one man can defeat 400 men. Plus the king. 400 men plus the king. And he laid it upon the wood, say, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt offering. Do you know what number 4 represents? Balance. That's why you don't fall when you sit on that chair. Balance. We are bringing back the divine order. Balance. The word water represents the word of God. It represents the power of the Holy Spirit. So while he was administering those things typologically, It was bringing God to the scene. It's as though he had a situation and you are speaking God's word over and over again. First time, second time, third time, fourth time. Are you with me? Are you making the connections? Huh? I'm showing you something here. I'm showing you and I need to catch it. This is the situation. And then you take out a day or a night. I don't know how long we'll be here. If you are going to be confused about your prayers, write it out. Huh? Write it out. These are the scriptures you will use. This is the main idea of this prayer. You will. So when you stand like this over this child, you mention his name, then begin to read the scriptures, begin to read the scriptures, begin to speak the scriptures in a prophetic way. And you call upon the name of the Lord. Say, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you begin. Then you do it again the second time. It's like pouring the water over the side. You do it again. Until there's a witness in your heart. You did it once and say you didn't do it. You did it twice. You didn't do it. You do it until you get a witness that this matter, God has taken over. Come on, say amen. Please preach your neighbor. God has taken over. And he poured it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Next verse. Somebody's already blessed, even if I close here right now. All right? So, then he said, do it a second time. And then he said, do it again, a third time. So the water ran all around the altar. You see that altar that was raised over that family? He laced it with the word of God. He had Bible verses he had collated. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. For I will say of the Lord, that's what it means for the water to run around the trenches. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Don't be quiet and say that. And say God will do it. He will not do it. That's what some people say. If it is the Lord's will, I will be filled with the Holy Spirit. I will speak in tongues. You will not speak in tongues. Eh? Please. I hope you heard Elijah telling them that their God is busy. I hope you also know God is also busy. Mm-hmm. Next verse. Next verse. Quickly. 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering. Mm-hmm. We are getting close now. Of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham. You see, he started to provoke covenant. When this declaration and this title was being given to God, was he there? They said, if you need his attention, say the Lord God of what? Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Now, he did not say Jacob. He said Israel because Israel is his covenanted name. I did not tell you I will be coming, but I'm here. If you want to move, come now. That's what he was doing. Come now, I'm here. And only me. They are 400. I didn't know there would be much like this. But anyway, but they are here. Say, let it be known this day. I like this. I want you to learn how to pray like this. You can say it in your language. You see, it will be more powerful if you know how to speak your language. Say, let it be known this day. Excuse me, is this a prayer or an announcement? So many times when you are praying, you really don't. Sometimes you don't know what you are dealing with. So you start by seeking God. You are praying, Father, guide us, show us the way. The moment God begins to bring direction, change the nature of that prayer to prophetic prayer. When you now get to a level and there's victory, make it an announcement. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. Do you know that this statement is not a simple statement? Because for years, Jezebel had appointed prophets. They had appointed ministers, apostles, prophets, evangelists. And they were the ones running the show. And this guy came and said, let it be known today that all that time you guys were here, God is still the one in charge here. And let it be known that I'm your servant. Me, I thought the brother would just remove himself. He said, no, I'm here because I serve this God of Israel. If God calls you a prophet and you say you're a brother, you are proud. If God says you are the number one computer whiz in the whole world, and you say, no, we are just learning, we are just humble, you are proud. The only way God understands humility is when you say, refer to yourself aligned with what he himself has called you. And if he says you are healed, then you are healed. It is not humility to say we are trusting God. When God says, my daughter, you are healed. Please, let me prophesy to you. Please, can you refer to yourself with what God is calling you? Can you help me tell your neighbor? Because some people think it is humility. It's not humility. God says you are healed. God says your business is alive. God says you are restored. Can you please prophesy and say, I am what God says I am? Please put up that scripture. It's not humility. There are things we do. God just laughs that this one has refused to grow. And that I have done all these things at your word. Next verse. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that these people may know that you are the Lord and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Next verse. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. It consumed the wood that held the sacrifice. It consumed the stones. What kind of fire is that? It's consuming fire. Anything it touches goes. Anything it touches goes. Anything it touches goes. If it touches you, the barrenness goes. If it touches you, the backwardness goes. If it touches you, that verdict, that evil report from the doctor disappears. He said, he didn't just touch the sacrifice. He touched the wood. He touched the stone. Even the dust. Then he began to lick up water. Fire that licks water. Man of God. we need the fire of God again. Yes, the fire that has no respect for stubborn situations. Anybody that follow join, we receive the touch. We'll collect. Say, are you with her? Oh, yeah, collect. Are you with her? Collect. I say, God is on your side. Amen. Victory is on your side. Amen. Testimony is on your side. Amen. Breakthrough is on your side. Amen. The hand of the Lord is in your direction. Amen. One of my spiritual daughters in the UK, and I was just sharing with the pastors this morning, sent me a message yesterday about a wonderful lady somewhere in the East who was trusting God for... She was afflicted by... It's a long story, but she was afflicted by the enemy just around 1 year of getting married, and she would bleed every night. Like, not just bleed, like bleed till the bed is soaked. And when she gets to the hospital, the doctor said there's nothing wrong with her. And it was happening every night. And at some point, they said the way this girl is going, she will bleed to death. Medical science could not explain. The team of doctors could not explain. How is it possible that once it's 12 midnight, you start bleeding on your own? Then it stops before daybreak. There is evidence on the bed to show that this is not just this bed is soaked. And it's happening every night. Because she was attacked. And the doctor didn't know what to treat because they ran the test and the test said, you are fine. If the thing is caused by a demon, the doctor will not see it. The doctor can see headache and malaria, but if the migraine is caused by devils, they will not see it. It takes a spiritual eye, spiritual power to remove the shield, that thing that is covering the eyes of the doctor. It takes the power of God to consume the stones and the dust and expose what is there. So my doctor was just chatting with me. She called me. She went, that there's this particular situation, though they've prayed, that she has prayed for the person. And please, don't let anybody fool you that you don't know what is happening to you. Because in the case of this sister, our direct immediate sister is also a medical doctor abroad. So she's not a novice. She has help from family who are doctors. She has help from doctors who are the sister's friends. She has doctors here in Nigeria attending to her. And they all say they can't find anything but God. So I asked my doctor, I said, are you sure the prayer you pray, God heard? I said, because the way you are describing this thing, this guy can die anytime. He said, yes. She said, well, we have prayed. In fact, we just finished praying like 15, 20 minutes ago. I said, can you bring her back online for 5 minutes? They called the lady in London. Everybody joined on WhatsApp. I said, how are you? Say, what's your name? She told me, I can't even remember her name. But I just said, okay, let's pray. Then I prayed. And when I was done, I said, go and sleep. That was like 3 days ago. Today is Sunday. For the first time in a long time, no more bleeding. But I didn't need to see her. I'm trying to tell you that if God wants to touch you, a WhatsApp call is enough. And today, if you are in this meeting or you are connected online, the fire of God will touch the sacrifice. It will touch the wood. It will consume the stones. It will lick the dust. It will lick up the waters. In the name of Jesus. 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 Put up that scripture. Next verse. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Next verse. And Elijah said to them, seize all these prophets. Do not let any of them escape. So they seized them and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. Now let me tell you, it's not every enemy that can be saved. Some by their covenant have chosen death. It's not you. They gave their souls to Satan. There's nothing you can do. And God help you, you don't run into someone like Archbishop Idahosa. You know, in Lagos, we have a lot of nice preachers. They talk. They are very nice, but no power. No power. So you may run into that kind of pastor. He will beg you that, okay, you're a witch. I'll be don't trouble again. Take 50,000. Like one pastor I was listening to. He said he doesn't have enemies. So please sit down. Say if he has any enemy, he'll give them money. They'll become his friend. That he doesn't have time to be praying. And the man's name himself is Gbenga. He says Gbenga. Very rich. I see. I like this one. He said, all the witches in my father is from Edo State. All the witches in my... So I went to my village, I gathered all of them, I gave the witches money. The kind of money they've never seen. Say, Mama, say, okay, take 150,000. Ah, you give me money? Say, yes. For what? He said, I just like you. But he has a list, house to house, was giving them money. Then he called all the evangelists and pastors in that village, gave them 500. Say, so when he's sleeping, they are the ones praying. I laughed. I said, this is my yeah, person. He said there was a man. He said, I was preaching in one church. He said, I saw the committee after service, building committee. I said, what are people talking about? He said, we are the building committee. He said, how much? I think there's only like 2 million, 3 million. Say, all of his scatter. Disappear. Brought out 5 million, gave them. See the way they were praying. All my power, all my anointing. Take. They said the pastor of the church was, say, take my calling. Take. Well, I can tell you for free, money is good. Amen. So if you have that one, you have anointing, my brother. Just carry go. No problem. So if I say no, they pray. Say now, prayer will get time. Say no, get time. Say if I just need prayer, I'll just call one or two people, five people, send them 250,000 each. They say, Pastor, what's your prayer point? They start praying. He's an apostle. He said, no, they pray. I said, well, this is another wisdom. Amen. Who am I? It's working for you. I play with fire. Now, what we just did was the first part of the message. The second time, because of I'm under pressure, you know, so I need to round up on time. It's in the later part of this scripture. After, I think we are looking at, Yes, let's go back to verse 29. And it came to pass, when the midday was past, and they prophesied, where? Until the time of the evening sacrifice. Now, I need to speak to you about this, because sometimes when you read certain things, you may not understand the spiritual significance. Why did our brother wait till the time of the evening sacrifice? Please understand that time of the evening sacrifice is not 6 p.m. It's 3 p.m. 9 hours. The ninth hour of the day is when the evening sacrifice begins. All right? And you can look it up. So let me talk to you. I will read a few things I have in my notes here. So just listen. The evening sacrifice is an ancient Jewish tradition, particularly as practiced in the temple in Jerusalem, and has unique significance. Number one, timing and symbolism. The evening sacrifice is known as Tamid Shel Behin Arbayim, a continual offering of the evening. That means this is a sacrifice you offer every day in the evening. Every day. And it is usually offered late afternoon around 3 o'clock. This time is significant not only religiously but also symbolically. It marks the transition spiritually from day to night. Are you with me? This is Jewish tradition now. Huh? Are you with me? And it symbolizes constance in worship. So there is the early morning sacrifice and there is the evening sacrifice. So God says at every point in time there must be no break. Day unto day utterance preach, night unto night showeth knowledge. Alright? Which means whatever the Lord brings us revelation through his word in the day, he will reveal it to us through revelations in the night. And that's why the kind of dreams you have are very important and can tell you about where you are in your life just by understanding your dreams. So if you find that you're always dreaming and you find yourself wearing your old school uniforms and you're always with your old friends or friends who are dead, it's not a good dream. Because night unto night showeth knowledge. So it's not a good sign. There are things that when you see, you can tell that this is not a good dream. Because whatever you see in your dream is not unconnected with something that is happening with your life, even if you don't understand it. Number two, let me just keep a few things. A unique regulation was that no other sacrifices were to be offered after the evening sacrifice. So once that sacrifice is offered, no other sacrifice will be held or will be offered that day. If you have anything to do, you come the next day. In Christian theology, there is a parallel. Jesus was crucified around 3 p.m. Or rather, he died. His crucifixion started in the noon, around 12, when Elijah was telling them, "Cry!" Huh? Are you here? I want to show you a connection. And let me tell you something. The 12th, the hour, maybe we should do a teaching on the watches, praying according to the watches here. Because that 12 p.m., there is a lot of, do you know what happens 12 o'clock in the global market? That is when they are preparing for the New York session to start. For those of you that understand what I'm talking about, the New York session is when America wants to do business. That's when all the Apple shares will either go up or come down. S&P 500, Facebook, Meta. Talk to me. Nvidia, exactly. So those are the guys who run the world. And whatever happens in the night session, the Asian session, where you have China and these other guys, will not be far off, per se, Shanghai, and of what they have seen in the New York session, which is around 1 p.m., 2 p.m., depending on where the bell is ringing from, you know. So what does that tell you? It is telling you that anything from 12, there is agitation in the spirit. There's pressure. Will the market go up or come down? Everything you see in the natural realm models the supernatural. And you saw that at 12 o'clock, the prophet said, cry! That means even if you are waiting on the Lord, the moment you hit 12, what is Elijah saying? Raise your voice! Because between 12, 1, 2, there will be massive, you see the market spiking. Pop! You will just say that, this particular share value has gone up while you are watching Netflix. Are you with me so far? So there are specific things that are unique to certain prayer times. In just the same way that there are certain prayers you cannot hold successfully except you are doing it at night. Are you with me? So you need to understand this, and maybe we should take some time, do some teaching around it, because when the Lord may beckon to you and say this particular one, it will be 12 in the afternoon. And you have to get up from your office desk and go into your restroom for 10 minutes. Or leave your business. Tell somebody to watch it. Say you are coming. Go and sit down in your car and begin to pray. And raise your voice. That means that type of prayer, 12 o'clock prayer, must be what? Fervent praying. Are we together? So this 12 p.m. Prayer is very significant. And we are being told, according to Jewish custom, that it has a strong connection to the evening sacrifice. Because 3 p.m., 12 was when Jesus, around that time, he was already being hung. And everything that happened, the conversations with the thieves, everything that happened, you know, the scripture said the darkness later came, you know, signifying that the transition from night to day, from day to night, all right? So it says that there is a noted parallel. Jesus' crucifixion and death are recorded as occurring around the ninth hour. Let's read Matthew 27:46. Matthew 27:46. Okay. I want to see if I can beat them to it. They beat me. Thank God it's not a bet. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out. You see this same cry. Are you seeing it? Are you seeing something? You need to understand the mood of heaven. Maybe that's why this your iron is not very hot. Are you with me? You need to understand that once you hit 12 p.m., that's sixth hour, into ninth hour, the kind of cries must be what? Very loud. Must be passionate. Change my life. Change my death. It's not with a cup of tea or coffee. It's not you trying to chew gum to stay awake. Koeti Kaila, it never enter you. When the situation of your life becomes a concern to you, you will not need chewing gum to stay awake to pray. Because you know if you sleep, you die. Are you here? And some of you need to take this year out. Settle some things so that you can be free from the battles your parents fought. Don't be in a hurry. Clear the road. Clear the ground. Teach your children to pray. Clear the road. Clear the ground. Leave the metaverse alone. They will know you when you are done. Eli! Now, when you read the Bible, you have to read it with the emotion. So that you understand that Jesus was not on a cup of tea and saying, Eli, 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 it's time to go and take the victory, brother. Let's go to hell. We'll be dead. 2 days, we're out. Jesus is not an American. And I hope someone somewhere in your head you can get that, because there's somehow these people have taught us to a level where you can't even imagine Jesus being black. And I hope you know Jesus was not white. He was more of brown. Yes. So do your research. Jesus was more someone like this lady in terms of skin tone and all of. So, but don't worry, whoever has the cameras will tell you who Jesus is. So they have already told us he's white. So, but when we see him, we will now know he's not even brown or white. He's light. Bible says in him was light, and the light was the light of men. So we know his skin tone originally is light, but for the camera, he's white. Put up that scripture. The ninth hour is the hour where we bring forth the evening sacrifice. We come before the Lord with the evening sacrifice. And Paul would later teach us and say, let the lifting of your hands be as the evening sacrifice. Which means the evening sacrifice has an equivalent, our worship. Our worship is an equivalent of the evening sacrifice. Put up that scripture. Jesus screamed and said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the cry of Jesus around the ninth hour, which was in alignment with the offering of the evening sacrifice. The evening sacrifice was not just about the animal offering. It was accompanied by the burning of incense on the golden altar and the lighting of the menorah. So anytime the menorah? Do we still have that picture? Media team, if you still have it, just put it up of the menorah. The candlesticks representing the candle stand with seven arms, representing the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of might, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of the fear of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom and understanding. You know, so there are about seven. When you say Holy Spirit, these are the seven spirits. All right, if you are able to get that picture, it's a very beautiful picture, just put it up. All right, so the moment the evening sacrifice is being offered in the Jewish day, they have to go into the temple and put a candle, light the candles, signifying that there is a spiritual transition from light into darkness. Therefore, the light of God will now be our light. Oh, hallelujah. That's powerful. Now, in your dark seasons, when the enemy decides to take out the light from your life, the Spirit of God, he lights his own candles. Hallelujah. That's very powerful. So we need to come back and look at some of these matters. All right? Did you get the picture? Or you are still searching? Okay. If you get it, just display it very briefly. Let's have a look at it. So having said this, I want us to now wrap up. Now we jump to my area of emphasis. I've said a few things already, and I hope these things can help guide you into the place of prayer during the week. Verse 41. And Elijah... Aha. This is the menorah. So when you light this one, that's when you begin to sing, towards your holy temple. When you are lighting this one, you'll now be singing, towards your holy temple. When you begin to sing that one, then you see the presence of the Lord, begin to come. So whenever there's darkness in the world, there will be light in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That means there will be light in your life. You are not permitted to be confused simply because everybody is confused. There is a system that God has put in place to make provision for you to have light, information, illumination. You are not in the dark, even though you are going through a lot of challenge. Between you and your husband, you may not even have so much money right now. But there is a provision, and that provision is in the light of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to believe it, actually. I know you didn't believe. That's why your hallelujah is very low, but it's okay. All right? So when you get it, you will shout. Because you can't get it and be quiet. Yes, you can't. Give me verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, this is an unbelieving king, but a king that is anointed with oil, but is unbelieving. He said, go up, eat and drink. For there is what? The sound of the abundance, when he said it, was hearing, but he heard it. Because the revelation you receive at the offering of the evening sacrifice gives you revelation. That revelation will be something that is not even happening now, but you are too sure that because God said it, it will be so. Next verse. So Ahab went up to eat and drink. It's amazing that it did not take him time to obey this instruction. Meanwhile, every time Elijah calls for repentance, the man is angry. The man is angry. But the moment they said, go up and eat, say, you're a good man. I know we have our differences, but I'm glad we could work out something. I'm going to eat. Say yes. The truth of the matter is you are not useful for me at this time. You are just a king with a crown, but you are not useful. At least Saul knows how to build an altar, even though he got into trouble for it. But at least he learnt it. You, I can't do anything. Your hands are stained on the altars of Jezebel. So you go home and eat. It was not a compliment. Sometimes when people tell you, go and sleep, don't worry, Tina and I will pray. It's not a compliment. Please, let me tell your neighbor, it's not a compliment. When they tell you to go and sleep while others are praying, it's not a sign that they respect you. Say, Pastor, don't worry. You just, we the prayer warriors. It's not a compliment. They are trying to tell you are finished. Don't allow anybody tell you, don't worry, sir. Brapat, you are an elderly person. No, don't take it. They have retired you spiritually. Come on, say God forbid. And it's not a good thing if your wife tells you, bro, go and sleep. I will handle it. It's a big problem. And there was a particular brother whose wife had manipulated, and stretched his life. And I was invited to pray with them and, you know, just minister to them. And after that process, they got into the house and they wanted to sleep. And the wife said, let us pray. You know, after this encounter, it's good for us to pray before we go to bed. And the husband said, okay. He doesn't shout again, anything she wants. He said, yes. And that is the situation of many brothers. See, that those who know are laughing. Just say, is it rice or pasta? I say, and if I'm my elder brother called me from Abuja and warned me, saying the light of what is going on in the country now and the cost of goods and going to the market, anything your wife gives you now, you must eat. Don't complain. I just said, okay, I've heard. Because he knows I'm very selective. It's anything she gives you, you must eat it without complaining. He said, even if she gave you rice yesterday and she gave you rice, say, eat it like that. I said, man, I know if you do this one, but to avoid quarrel, I said, yes, sir, no problem. It's my brother. So he's the head of the family. And he has given a royal decree that whatever our wives cook, we must eat without questioning. I don't, you know, I didn't see that conversation coming. I didn't know what to do with it. I just say yes, sir. I don't know where this, but me, I can see afford to be selective. But there's a level the economy we get to. Wait till I get. It's not a matter of what you want. Just wait in day house. When I bring her, you eat beans. Your head will begin to germinate beans. You never see anything. Maybe you know one fast. You go chop beans. That's why I love beans. You know, beans is very healthy. Beans has 21 benefits. You start checking all those channels on Instagram that say, if you eat beans, you get this, you get that. Eat leaf, eat vegetable. That's your channel now. Before, they normally send you useless people dancing on the Instagram. Now, they'll be sending you nutritionists. Why you should eat beans. And once you type it once, they'll start sending the rest to you. Do you know there are 7 benefits of eating beans? 7. The person talking to you is not a trained nutritionist. So he copied it. You better be careful who you say. Pastor, now let me just tell you officially. And I say this in recognition of my mentor, Pastor David Adeyemi. Who is also watching this service now? Anything you see online, 90% of it It's just for virality. People want to go. If you practice it, it's to your detriment. That's why I see the serious ones. They will tell you, still discuss with your doctor. Anyone that doesn't add discuss with your doctor was sent to kill you. Put up that scripture. So he bowed. Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up. So they both went up for different reasons. Going up, climbing mountains in the scriptures has a spiritual positive significance. When it says going up, that is, I'm rising above the shadow. You are going up to God. But this man went up, but it was to eat. The whole nation is on fire. 400 prophets that you chose just died, and you can still eat. Huh? Pastor. You can still. That man is a very wicked man. Four of your prophets just died. They say, go and eat, and you ordered for Amala and Begiri, and you asked for extra for goat meat. Goat meat. Say they should bring it in a separate plate. And 400 prophets just died. You are without prophet. You easily switch to Elijah without emotion. See all these people that easily switch alliances in your offices. You have to be careful about them. People that suddenly start telling you how good you are, how wonderful you are. But the prophet also went up, and the scripture says what? He said he went up and he bowed his head on the ground, put his face between his knees. Next verse. Now, hold on. This prayer model of Elijah is something I want us to consider. You can't pray like this if you have back pain, if you have backache, if you love sugar more than your life. How many of you love sugar here? Shout hallelujah. I'm here for you. How many of you cannot take garri without adding sugar to it? Raise your hand to the glory of God. Say, Kyle, God bless you. God bless you. I can see. Thank you for being honest. You cannot pray this prayer. And if your life depends on it, if this is the only way God will hear you are in trouble. Let me not even talk about the seven reasons why you should not eat sugar. Let me not go there. I don't want to leave my message. But hear it now, O Israel. If you are a lover of sugar, this prayer, do you know, I do you know even with what I'm wearing, I can't kneel like that. What this suit alone and this fitted trousers, I can't even bend. The way this guy, this prophet, he went on his knees, bent. So you have to be fit to serve God, though. All these things about not gymming and all those things, you have to rethink it, though. Because why would Elijah, gospel, is alone now, want to pray? We are introduced into the prayer life of Elijah here. What he did here, we were only informed because somebody was there to record it. We would never have known. We would have thought Elijah is someone that used to walk around pace. But Elijah, even when he's alone, doesn't want to be distracted. So he chose a body posture that makes it uncomfortable for his body to sleep. Are you with me? You want power? This is it. You want influence in the spiritual realm? This is it. You cannot do it at your convenience. You cannot do it at your convenience. The amount of time you will spend where you are, the other brother would have gotten there, prayed, God would have answered, he would have moved. You will still be there because your phone has become a distraction to your destiny. He bent his knees. That means he made contact with the earth. Then he bent his head somewhere at his between his thighs. That's quite difficult, and you should try it. Don't do it, please. I'm not recommending it because some of you are eating sugar. And if you are still a high consumer of sugar, coffee, tea, what else? What are the other, where you hide your sugar? chocolate, bread. What else? Oh, yeah, keep confessing. Huh? Bama. That one gets sugar. Wow. You said seriously? Biscuit. Cake. Somebody said, I must have a large piece of cake in my freezer at all times. At all times. I just love cake. No, I only think of sweetness in my life. Hallelujah. I say you didn't think of agbo. You didn't say sweetness. I say, okay, thank God for your revelation. No, okay, rice, yeah? So, ice cream. You see, I got to tell you, I love ice cream, amen? And sometimes just the name ice cream, my brain begins to function in a different way. So, when I go to, shopping malls, I try not to... I just walk past it. Or I point at the one that is most expensive so that the price can put me off, you know. But if you just buy it and say, oh, Pastor, this strawberry. I remember my message, but I will drink this one first. I will still lick that ice cream. And if you want to spoil me, put it on a cone. You know that one that small children used to like? You see, the devil has a way of packaging these things. It takes his time because the pack, they know. You see, for Brad Pat, he's surprised at all of you because he doesn't need the doctor to tell him that he must not try it. At a certain level, you begin to talk to yourself. So don't worry, you lovers of sugar, you will get there. So when you get there, you will start talking like me and I will see that I'll be laughing that he has finally become a convert. Listen to me. If you know that the matter before you requires a certain level of dedication, you must consider the state of your health before doing certain things. Don't just jump into something simply because you saw other religious people, vibrant people, they want to pray for 72 hours non-stop and you've never done it before. I would rather you build up to that level and not just jump into it 70 days fasting and prayer without food or water. This thing Elijah was doing here, he didn't do it for the first time. But this is the first time we are aware of it. However, it is important for you to also have your own strategy and your own system for being able to pray and see God in a way that it becomes difficult for you to be distracted. Put up that scripture. He put his face between his knees. And he started praying. I hope you know this guy wasn't speaking in tongues. In the scripture, the timeline for every prayer is 1 hour. That's what the Jewish custom tells us. When they say a time, and a time. Even in Revelations, when they have revelation like, for this shall happen to you for a time. That a time is 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. It's just like when Jesus was in the garden and he prayed and he came back. That first prayer was 1 hour. Came back. They were, for them to sleep like that. And what do you call this thing? Yeah, there's a Yoruba word, but that Yoruba word is the perfect one. But because we have people watching us from Barbados and all this, they may not understand. No, I said, give me the English. You start to drool. You know, for Jesus to come and say, sleep on. That means the situation for you is critical. That since this is what you came to the world to do, continue and continue. In patient Jonathan's voice, continue. But each time he left, he went for 1 hour, comes back, 1 hour, comes back, 1 hour. So that prayer was 3 hours. And there was no record they were speaking in tongues. Which means fervency of spirit. You may be baptized in the Holy Spirit and be cold. You may be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, but there's no fire. It is revelation that makes a man hot. what you know about what you are doing is what makes you go out and tell your wife, for the next 2 hours, nobody should knock on this door. Or you tell your wife, lock the door from outside, or your child, take the key. When I'm done, I will knock. If I don't call you, nobody should. No matter who, save if it's Pastor Gbenga, tell him I'm praying. He will understand. Do you know there are people that if you call and they tell them that, Brother Pat is praying, they will feel offended. And they are Christians, so. Say, I can't be praying at 2 p.m. It's because you don't know anything about the evening sacrifice. You don't know that there are specific times when there's volatility in the spiritual realm. When your prayers can receive a push. If you are trading in the night or watching the Asian market or Australian market, there's one thing that is very significant to those markets. Who knows what it is? They are very slow. Very slow. Even if you take $20 and put it in the Australian market or Asian market. Go now. I say, go this way. You will not be able to sleep. The stress on your blood pressure to be too much. But when you go into the New York market, in 1 minute, boom, $500. Boom, $20,000. Because that market is, there's a lot of what we call volatility. Boom, pa, boom, pa, boom. There's a lot. Because whatever happens in America will determine the next 24 hours. One man rose up and said, we are no more doing business with China. Place tariff of anybody. What happened? Market started crashing everywhere. Everywhere. That's how powerful the New York market is. So it is good to pray at any time, and God will hear you at any time. But I'm telling you, there are some times that have volatility. When you pray according to the watches. When Daniel received the decree that had been signed that nobody should pray, and he knew that the matter was against him, he waited for the time when it was within the hour of prayer, the next watch hour, and he opened his window. He didn't panic. He just took it. Wait for the market to come to you. You are forcing the customer, buy. That's why are you forcing me? That's why they can't do business with you. Okay, buy. There's no problem. Just you present your case, leave the matter. Don't. The moment you put him under pressure, I suspect you. That pressure you are putting on that client, put it in the place of prayer. Then the Spirit of God will just say, why don't you do this project? The guy will call you. And he began to pray. Please, let's move to the next verse quickly. And he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked and said there was nothing. You see, we may be in the same house, but operating at a different level spiritually. This guy is his PA. He doesn't understand spiritual things. Meanwhile, the prophet can't live where he is to be monitoring the signs and be praying at the same time. Say, you go and check. Put on the scripture. And he said 7 times. This man had been praying for 7 hours. It was the Lord that said, it's time to send rain. Look at the price. See, I was in service. Pastor Gwinga gave a prophecy, and I heard Sister Tina when she shared her testimony. I'm happy for you. I hope you know, people don't really tell you what they really did. They will just tell you it's God. I want to thank God. I want to thank God's servant, Pastor Gwinga. They will not tell you that after the prophecy, they started fasting. Apostle Paul laid hands on Timothy. In the midst of the brethren, pow, bishop, take it. Fall down. Say, pick him up. Holy Ghost. Boom. He now said, don't let any man despise your youth. Instruction 1. I have anointed you. But as I'm looking at you, you look like someone that panders to the approval of men. Don't let any man look down on you. You are young, but you are the bishop. So use your authority. Then come. Take it again. Carry him up. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, that you received when I laid my hands on you. Say, learn how to war a good warfare, which means whenever a word comes to you, the next thing is not Netflix, it's prayer. Yeah. Because this is the word of the Lord from the spiritual realm, but then God needs a man to raise an altar here. To the earth must agree with the heavens. There was a time many years ago we were in this church, somebody, two people sat here, and I just declared, I said, somebody's getting a millionaire. In those days, though, 1 million was a big deal for this church. I said, somebody's getting 1 million. I said, and I pointed to their direction. The lady here was planning her wedding, but this was the man that I pointed to. I said, you are getting a million. He shouted, amen. The lady shouted, amen! That week she got a million, the bride didn't get it. I know because they both spoke to me. Overtaking is allowed. I say overtaking is allowed. You have to be spiritually sensitive. If that word is for you, receive it. Receive it. Don't be, man, man. You are who? It's your prophecy. When I'm done here, I will go and ask God, what's my own word? But while I'm here, don't respect anybody. If the word is for you, scream and shout, collect it. Even if you say the person is your husband and is the one preaching, if you cannot differentiate between your husband and your pastor, you will not be blessed. Pro that scripture. Let's round up. Go again. Next verse. Next verse. Then it came to pass at the seventh time, he said, there is a cloud, but it's very small. Do you know that, brother me, under this condition, when you are tired of going and coming, before this man begins to look at you and wonder whether you are even supposed to be working with him, because you can't see vision, you can't pray, you can't fast. Okay, go and check what the spiritual realm is saying. You say you cannot. Okay, why are you even here among the sons of the prophet? I don't know. Like, why are you even with me? You're a problem. You're a big problem. Huh? You're a problem. The man quickly said, I saw his small hand. But do you know he was looking at the sky? Excuse me, when you look at the sky, is it not the cloud you see? So, sir, this man, I don't understand what I mean. He will sack me after that. Let me just tell him I saw something. Sir, I saw a cloud. When you look at this, is it not cloud? What do you mean by I saw a cloud before? It's not like saying you look at the ocean, you saw water. Na rock you go see. He said, as small, in other words, is nothing. We need God's power. This one, I'm not sure. I saw something. In other words, may I should keep praying. Abby. You cannot pray. I told you to tell me what God said. You brought me more prayer point. He said, as small as a man's hand. So this is where we now confirmed that it is not actually a figment of his imagination. If I looked at the sky, I see the cloud. But the hand that I saw was rising out of the sea, not the cloud. Are you tracking? You are not getting it yet. He looked at the sky for a sign. He said he saw a cloud, a man's hand, a small hand. But he now gave clarity. This is a principle we teach when we teach people in prophetic school. When we ask you to describe what you have seen, sometimes it appears vague. Then as you continue explaining, it starts having some kind of specificity. You are being able to give more flesh. Like, sir, this hand is not in the sky. It's coming out of the sea. Do you know? Let me not start what I can't finish. Do you know that most of all these idols, this Baal and all of them, they have link with the marine world? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So God's power has to go into the sea. Dismantle them. All the time Elijah was praying, Shateka, Yabarata. And he said, there's movement, there's volatility, there's movement. God's power was still in the waters. Dismantling the hold of witchcraft, which Jezebel had put there in the land. all the time those 400 prophets will be chanting that nobody took seriously. Oh, are you here? They were chanting. I don't know what they do for it. Every morning, every evening, 400. Do you know there's power in numbers? The power of Satan was taking root in the land. When God wanted to dismantle it, he went into the depth of the sea and came out from there. When the prophet saw that hand, he had gotten a sign. The man who saw the vision didn't understand how powerful what he saw was. When the prophet saw it, he just said, quickly, oh yeah, get up, get up. Go to Ahab now. Stop eating, no? You know you like food. Now prepare your chariot and start running home. Do you know why? This kind of rain that is coming is a storm. Anyone or anything that is a party to the darkness we are trying to remove will be destroyed. Anything that this rain meets, if that thing is not righteous, it will take it out. Oga, run. I think while delivering the message, God say, and you too. Liar say, sir, what are you doing here? This one will not spare you. And the Spirit of God came upon him. We need to recover time. You will not be able to meet up. You want to recover time? You need the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Say, some trust in horses. Some trust in chariot. Say, but we trust in the name of our God. Anytime you are short of time, say, Holy Ghost, follow me. The prophet stood up. Put up that scripture. The Spirit of God came upon him. Next verse. Quickly. Now, it happened in the meantime that the sky became black. You see, when you see all these signs, they are pointers to what is going on. That this is a storm. There's going to be a conflict of powers. This is a storm. And it became black with clouds and wind. And there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away. He did not even ask the prophets, you care to join me? You see, you have to be careful about people who think about themselves only. This guy is supposed to be a king. See the way he turned his back on 400 prophets. Even the man praying for him. The same way. Oh, and you know there are people like that too. Who are Christians? There are people that will call you and say, Pastor, there's a problem. When God answers your prayer, they will share the testimony elsewhere. Some will not even tell you that God has done it. Or some will come here and generalize the testimony as if you were not the one that prayed. Those are Ahabs. Huh? If God used my path to bless you, say it. Say it. Somebody bought a bus. She had a mighty attack in her family. And the prophet, who is my friend, prayed for her, did VG. And she complained that her own pastor abandoned her on that matter. And this prophet kept praying until the battle was solved. The lady went to buy bus for her church, brought envelope for the pastor, and told the pastor to join her in Thanksgiving at her church. And when the prophet saw the bus that she gave to the church, he was happy because he knows that it was his fasting and prayer for several days that brought the victory. My home must be a brand new car. The woman gave him an envelope. He said, it's in dollars. This one is dollars. You go and cash it at the bank. It's dollars. He got home. He opened the thing quietly. 2,000 naira. After all, it's God that calls his servant. It's God that will take care of his servant. So let God take care of his servant. The prophet called me, say, I'm starting another fast. That woman must be destroyed. I said, he was so offended. I said, Biko, I beg. Now God, they do one more. Make it. But I could feel his pain. He said, no, it's an insult. She should have just left me alone. The pastor that abandoned you bought him a bus. I started begging for a woman I didn't know. Even though the woman is supposed to be punished. But I don't want to be part of this sin. So I started begging. God, while praying, God now told him, forget about the woman. I will send someone to you on so-so day to give you some money. Somebody came with 500,000. Says God that called the pastor. If everybody behaved like you, pastor would have died since. Says God that called the pastor. God that called the pastor. I don't know, say that God called. Why did you take your own prayer to God directly? Everybody has God's address. In Jesus' name, amen. You pray. So why didn't you try that one? Says God that take care of his pastor. If everybody's behaving like you, the pastor would have opened the shop, start selling pick me can because he has to feed his family. Those are Ahabs, so it's another day. Come and address Ahabs. Next verse. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he gathered his loins. You see, getting your loins, it talks about a prayer posture. He gathered his loins. And he ran ahead. This is not humanly possible. He ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Next verse. Then Jezebel sent a messenger, blah, blah, blah. And so there are certain principles we've already established. If you are going to experience abundance, you must first hear the sound. That means a prophetic word must come, announcing that there is an sound of the abundance of rain that is coming. Now, before you get the abundance, you must have direct contact with spirits that are ruling your land, that are ruling your territory, that are ruling your office. And believe me, don't be naive to think everybody is as open-minded as you are. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Are you with me? Your only grace is that your prayer life must be hot. Don't gamble and think that everybody is like you, open-minded, simple. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the simple go on and they are punished. If you are simple-minded, you will suffer for the sins of others. Say, me, my mind is pure towards everybody. Do you know what every other person is doing or thinking? Your only security is to secure yourself in the place of prayer, fasting. Don't wait for the day of trial to start. So there must be the sound of abundance. You got to hear the sound. Hearing the sound, I'm not talking about hearing drops in your ear, inside your ear. I'm saying that God gives you a premonition or a sense. You just sense that there's something God wants to do in this family. There's something God wants to do in our life or in my life. And then you begin to prepare for the rain that is coming. But you look at right from the time that Elijah was in this picture, he contended with the false prophet, fire fell. So before rain, there must be fire. There must be what?
Fire.
There must be fire. Because fire must cleanse the land. It must cleanse your family. It must cleanse your life. You can say to God, Lord, purge me. Purge me. I'm a pastor, but purge me. I'm still struggling. There are certain things that make me know I'm still a man. Lord, purge me. Purge me of every evil way. Fire must visit the land for rain to come. The rain did not come because of Ahab. It came because there was an intercessor for the land, for your family, for your marriage, for your job, for this new opportunity, for whatever it is you are trusting God for. You want your business to begin to operate at a new level. Fire must touch the land. Come on, say, I receive it. The fire of the Lord upon my land, upon my God-given territory, in the name of Jesus. Rise up, let's pray.